Good morning and welcome. If you didn't know it, today's Father's Day. And we say hello to all you fathers and pray the good Lord will bless you and give you all you need to continue to be a great father. Let's begin some announcements. Melissa, are you ready? All right, well, listen.
It's going to be kind of like a family fun night just because of the ages of our youth in our church. So we are going to have a small Bible lesson and story either in the sanctuary or over there in the chapel. It depends where we land that night. But anyways, and then afterwards we're going to have a water slide, pizza, some praise and worship music, and a surprise that I think you adults and I know the children will enjoy as well. So please come out. Everyone is invited to come next Sunday night from 5:30 until the kids get tired of sliding down the water slide. There will be two slides, one for the big kids and one for the little kids. So, and also, the sign-up sheet for the Experiencing God is next door on the bulletin board, and Marilyn and I will be facilitating, if you will. And we encourage anyone and everyone to sign up if you haven't already taken the class, because it really, truly changed my way of thinking, and I talked to several people who, outside of our church and inside of our church, who have done the study. And no one has regretted it, so please sign up. We would love to have you. And it's such a good time with church family to be able to spend that time talking and having those conversations. So please sign up. Thank you.
You see those listed on Monday 9 to 12, Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project to support the veterans. Sunday the 16th, Ladies Auxiliary meeting at 4. P.M. Tuesday the 18th, the deacons will meet at 6. Bible study on Thursday the 20th at 10 a.m. Food bags will be packed at the Deep Run Baptist Church on Thursday the 20th. Johnny, know if you can help. Deep Run Independence Parade, June the 29th, 6 p.m. And then we have the Fisher Board meeting coming up on the 14th at 5 p.m. and Sunday the 21st at 5 p.m. If you're interested in using the facilities, see Donna Smith. She keeps the book on that. Do we have any other announcements?
I'd just like to encourage the ladies to come out this afternoon. I know it's Father's Day, but just come out for a brief meeting. We're going to have the Women's Auxiliary meeting. We'd like to encourage the younger ladies. I appreciate the older ladies the most, to be sure. Love them as well. But please come out and join us for our auxiliary meeting.
Okay. Any other announcements? Okay, stand and let's do the responsive reading together as we begin worship. If God is for us, who is against us?
He who gave us the Son now gives us the Spirit and power.
The Holy One is in our midst.
He who gave us for life in the service of Christ.
In Christ we are more than conquerors. May the all-surpassing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And the unshakable love of God be with you.
The joyous communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Let us worship in spirit and in truth.
Father, we're so thankful we can be here today on this day. It's been set aside as Father's Day, and look to you, the greatest Father of all. You're the Father, the Creator of all that there is, and you create us, and you love us, and set the example of the greatness of being a father. And we just pray today as we come to worship you, we can draw strength from that and look to you to find those qualities most needed to be fathers to our families and fathers in our communities. Bless us as we worship, and we just praise and honor and glorify your name. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 404, sing all three verses of Faith of Our Fathers.
In spite of dungeons.
Thank you. May be seated. Ms. Billy Yard has our scriptures this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day. And Mother's Day again. Our Old Testament scripture is from Psalm 20, verses 6 through 9. And this is the New International Version. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord, our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call. And the New Testament is Mark 4, 26 through 34. And these are parables that Jesus is sharing about the kingdom. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So today we want to honor all of our fathers. First, I want to read a poem titled A Faithful Father. It says, "A father builds relationships that last throughout the years. He takes the time to listen and helps to calm our fears. A father keeps his faith in our Savior up above, and his children find a refuge in the home he fills with love." And has everyone received a ticket this morning? A red ticket? Anyone who has not received a red ticket? Okay, so we have three lucky fathers in here that are going to get $25 off their next Lowe's purchase. So those kiddos down there are going to pull a ticket, and so have your tickets ready. Oh. Can you read it? Read it. Not the reading, not the numbers. You gotta say it loud, girl. Here. Okay. Yes, you do.
902.
902.
3359.
Mr. Elwood, very good. You're going shopping.
All right. We got Mr. Elwood. Noah,
you're the lead.
You get next.
Okay. Can you read it?
902.
902.
3364. 3364. Oh, Uncle Dennis back there at the back. Go get a gift card and take it to his. It's right here. All right. Mr. Elwood. All right, right. See him raising his hand in the blue shirt, right here. All right, go get the gift card. Okay, so now we have a little something for all you dads out there. Y'all are not easy to buy for. So, all those random little keys you have laying around the house, you get a keychain to put on it so you know the difference in your keys, I guess. It's the only thing I can come up with for now. They have scripture on them. So, yes. All right, so y'all grab some keychains and go out here. And raise your hand if you're a dad so that they will know and see if this is true.
Continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs this morning we need to remember?
Remember Kirby Page in prayer. He's in hospice care. And Karen Page, y'all, has got surgery coming up next week.
Kirby and Karen Page, yes.
D.D. Sims,
okay.
Mary Wall,
okay.
Alan J. He is stable. And they gave him 6 more months to come back and have another scan. And also, Brian Heck, he is in the hospital. He was in Houston, and Gary sent him to Chapel Hill. He's got spinal meningitis. And he needs to be remembered, too.
Alan J. and Brian Heck. Okay, any others?
Faye King,
all right. Yeah, remember Alan Moody? He finally got his liver transplant and things went well. So pray that his body will receive it and things will go good there.
Ask for prayer for a young lady named Claire Drawn. She's my cousin's daughter. And several years ago, she was hit by a car in the car driver line. And she's experiencing some type of progressive neurological downfall. They're somewhat suspecting it to be Wilson's disease, but she has young children, and if we could please get her.
That was Claire Drawn.
Claire Drawn.
Okay.
Yes.
Any others? Let's remember these, and certainly on the back of your bulletins, a list of names as you pray this week. Remember all of those. So let's take time to pray.
Thank you.
this time, Father. Father, we're so thankful for all the many gifts that you've given us. We're thankful for the fathers that's come ahead of us. That's carved out a path, Father, that would get us closer to you. Father, I thank you for all the many blessings that you continue to bring to this community. The love that you continue to pour upon us that we reflect. Father, I think there's no greater thing to me to have you as a heavenly Father and you to have taught the one that reared me, Father, to love and to care for us. And I ask that you continue to give myself, the ability and the ones and the sound of my voice to fully carry out what a true Father is, not a donor, but just a true Father. That we can help lead our families to be back, be with you, Father. Now there's a time of prayer. You've heard the names that's been mentioned. They've been called this week, Father. They're in need. And there's ones that truly believe upon you that has lifted up and has asked that you reach down and touch them. But I'm asking at this time that you touch them and their family, that there's something that they will say or something that will tear from you. Alan Moody, Father, has been on my mind for many months. He's reached out to me at times because of something that he felt inside of me. He's mentioned it to your wife. Father, I'm asking at this time that you please pour your love, your spirit around him and his wife, and that his liver transplant will be effective. Because he's made a difference. He realized where he comes from and where he's at this day. He knows it's because of me. Please, Father, please be with him. As we go out this service, this Father's Day, be with Joe, that he continues to open up and bring us your message. Father, he goes even deeper and brings us exactly how to get to you. Please continue to be with him. We ask all this in your name.
Let's all turn to hymn number 93, stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of God, Our Father, We Adore Thee.
Chosen in the Christ before thee, we adore. worship you without fear of persecution, for you are the true and only one God. Thank you for all the blessings you pour down upon us. Be with us now as we give back a portion of that to you. May it be used to further your kingdom in this church and this community. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. May be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. You may be seated. Today we'll take a break from the book of 1 Corinthians. You're supposed to say, oh. No. Anyway, being it's Father's Day, I thought we would focus our attention on what we can learn on this day. If you're going to build something great, a blueprint is essential, correct? God gives us a blueprint for fathers. Let's think about that this morning. A blueprint for fathers. God gives us a blueprint for fatherhood, and He can do that because God is a perfect father. Our text comes from John 3:16. Since today is Father's Day, we can't deny the impact that a father has on a child. And today, our world needs great fathers. And I think when you can see where young people fail in life, a lot of times it can be traced back to a father not being what that father should be. So let's think about that this morning. The perfect blueprint for fatherhood. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're a father, this verse will give you some ideas and inspiration of what it means to be a good dad. But this verse also teaches us four ways in which our Heavenly Father relates to each of us, male or female. So let's look at each one. First of all, a father loves. As Jesus said in verse 16, "For God so loved the world." God loved the world, and that includes us. My experience as a father gives me insight into two spiritual concepts. One is what it actually means to love, and the other is what it means to be loved. We know about that, don't we? What it means to love and what it means to be loved. And we may strive to love others unconditionally, maybe our spouse or our friends or our siblings. But it really doesn't come natural to us. This kind of unconditional love is something you have to develop. For example, you may love your spouse unconditionally today, but you haven't always. You didn't love them unconditionally before you met them. When you first began dating, you didn't love them unconditionally. And today you may love them with all your heart. But it is a love that has been earned to a certain extent by your spouse being the wonderful person that they are. Too often we think this is how God loves us. We think His love for us grows the more He gets to know us. And the more we do things worthy of His love. But beloved, it doesn't work that way. And becoming a parent teaches us this. The moment my children came into the world, I loved them, period. They had done nothing to earn my love. But I loved them anyway, simply because they were mine. You know what? When you have kids, you will keep on loving them, no matter what. This is unconditional love, and virtually all parents have it. If you're a parent, think of the love you have for your children and realize this is the best human example of God's love for us. It's not based on performance. It's not based on merit. It's based on the fact that we are His and He loves us. And everything that He has done, everything that He has said in His Word is to prove to us just how much He loves us. Now, I've never met a father that said, "I don't love my children." Of course, all fathers love their children, but here's where too many of us as fathers drop the ball. We don't express it enough. We don't say it enough. We don't show it enough. Or maybe we do show our love, but only at certain times. Maybe in as a reward for a certain behavior. They make us look good. And as a result, our kids get the idea that our love from them is conditional. We only love them when they do those things that are pleasing to us. And it shouldn't be that way. The people in our lives can't read our feelings, and they can only read our actions. And they can't hear what you're saying. They can only hear what you say. They can't hear what you're thinking. They can only hear what you say. And it's crucial for a father to express his love to his children in what he says and what he does. Our Heavenly Father expressed His love to us again and again. And even in the garden when Adam and Eve had sinned, God took care of them. He made new clothes for them. When David had sinned with Bathsheba and his sins had robbed him of joy with a relationship with God, God forgave him of his sin and restored the joy of his salvation. And throughout Scripture, we can read how God affirms His love for us. We know He loves us because He said so. And the Bible is a book that showcases just how much God loves the people that He created. God tells us He loves us and He shows us He loves us. His ultimate act of love is by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And maybe your father didn't know how to express His love for you. If so, you can be sure that he regrets it. But don't make the mistake of transferring your earthly father's weaknesses to your heavenly father. God loves you unconditionally. He said so, and he backs up his words with actions. Regardless of the relationship you have with your earthly father, you can have a personal, heart-to-heart relationship with your heavenly father because he loves you unconditionally. Just because you're you and just because you're his, that's what a father does. He loves. So dads, don't forget to show your children just how much you love them. The second thing we see here is that a father, he not only loves, but he gives. A father gives. Verse 15, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave. In other words, God took action. Okay? He gave. What did God give to us? His son, Jesus Christ. He sent his son, Jesus, to the world to die for the sins of the world so that we could be forgiven and be in an eternal relationship with him forever. This is the ultimate gift that God has given us. But it's not the only gift that God gives to us. The foundation of our relationship with God is built on all he gives to us daily. Our lives, our provision, our homes, our parents, our talents and skills and gifts, our intellect, and on and on and on we can go about the things that God gives to us. And when we allow him to, he gives to us every day of our lives. He meets our needs. He answers our prayers. He tackles our problems. He fights our fights. He's a giving God. If you're a father, there's two primary things you need to give to your kids. Number one, your money. And they'll be glad to take it. And number two, your time. And they'll enjoy that too. And an abundance of one doesn't negate the need for the other. Your children need you to provide for them materially, and they need for you to be there for them emotionally. A man was visiting a friend who was married and had a child, and this little boy was playing on the floor in front of them as they talked, and his friend made an odd comment. He pointed to his son and said, "There goes my chance for having a boat right there. As soon as I get the hospital bills paid, he'll need braces. By the time I get those paid for, he's going to want a car. When it's paid off, I had to pay for him to go to college. By that time, I'll be too old to want a boat." He was being facetious, I think. He was also, to a limited extent, speaking the truth. Being a father requires sacrifice. And just as God sacrificed, and just as Jesus sacrificed his life for us, we have to sacrifice some things in our lives for our children. We have to do without in life because we have greater obligations to provide that is necessary. As a father, there are sacrifices you'll have to make. Undoubtedly, you've made sacrifices already. And these are part of the job description. They're part of the joy of being a father. And your kids may never fully understand how much you sacrifice for them. And in my humble opinion, that's the way it should be. The last thing our kids need to hear is, "If it weren't for you, I could have a boat." Looking back, I can see how my parents sacrificed for me in big ways and small ways. And I'm thankful for their sacrifices. I'm also thankful they never did anything to give me the impression that if I weren't in the picture, they could drive a nicer car or take better vacations. They never gave me a reason to think that. I never did, and I never have. A father gives to his children. He gives his time, he gives his money, and both are essential. And we have to be diligent to maintain a delicate balance between the two. Kids need their father to be more than a provider. They need him there to be emotionally available as well. Spending time with your father isn't an option. Here's something to keep in mind. Your Heavenly Father is always available. You can call on Him anytime, any day, day or night. You can talk to Him about your problems, your fears, your dreams, your inadequacies, and He'll listen because He's always available. Because that's what a father does. He gives, and He is there for His kids. So a father gives, and the third thing is a father requires. John 3:16 is God's plan for salvation. It shows us what He does for us. He gave His Son so we could be saved. And it shows us what He requires of us. Verse 16 says that whosoever believes in Him. We have a role to play in our own salvation. God requires that we believe in Him. He doesn't expect more of us than we can give. But He does expect us to do what we can. We don't have the capacity to be perfect. We don't have the capacity to pay the price for our own sins. But we do have the capacity to believe. And that's what God requires of us. A good father has certain expectations for his children, certain requirements that must be met. And he isn't unreasonable about it. He doesn't demand more than a child can give. But he does require a certain level of responsibility from his children. There's an Old Testament story about Eli. Eli was a man of God. He was a priest who served in the temple. And though Eli was a faithful priest, he was a failure as a father. The sons of Eli had no respect for the law of God. They defiled the sacrifices. They extorted from those who brought offerings to God. And they slept with the women who served in the temple. And Eli knew about their behavior, but he did nothing about it. And as a result, God judged Eli. A father has a responsibility to set the standards for his children, to say, this is the way we live, and nothing less is acceptable. And of course, it is the father's responsibility to lead by example. A father's attitude must be, do as I do, not as merely as I say. And like Joshua, fathers must set the example by saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. A father requires his children to act like they belong to him. And he doesn't demand more than they can give. And he doesn't base his love on a child's behavior. But he does expect a child to do their part. And just like our father requires that we do our part, we must believe in his son. A father requires. And the fourth thing is, a father prepares his child for the future. Jesus said in verse 16, that whosoever believes in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life talks about our future. And our future begins when we believe. Eternal life begins the moment that we believe. Our salvation has been taken care of and purchased by God, by His Son Jesus Christ, forever. God has created that future for you and me, and He's offering us eternal life. He doesn't want us to spend eternity without Him. He doesn't want us to spend one day without Him. He wants us to live forever in His presence. And He's provided a way to make that happen. He did this by sending His Son Jesus Christ to the world and on the cross for our sins. And when we put our faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. And God gives us eternal life. That's the message of the gospel. Christianity isn't about a man finding his way to God. It's about God reaching out to us through his son. God has a vision for your future. A future spent in heaven with him forever. And he's done everything to provide a way for you to get there. In the same way earthly fathers need to do what they can to direct the future of their children in a way that's most beneficial to the child. An old man told me one time when I was much younger, he said, son, I've seen something you hadn't seen yet. I said, what's that? Time. Time has a way of helping us become wiser. Time has a way of helping us see the error of our ways when we were younger. Times has a way of giving us direction to others who are just beginning on the path. And just as God prepares a future for us, we need to do everything we can to help our young people, our children, in the preparation of their future. I say this rather cautiously because we all know examples of fathers who go overboard in this area. You want to be a doctor? Because I said you're going to be a doctor. And there's no other way. You know, we can't be demanding. You know, we've all seen fathers who try to realize their dreams vicariously through their kids. And this extreme attitude is not the kind of direction that I'm talking about. Fathers should prepare their children, I think, in the future for at least three primary areas. First of all, a father should help the child prepare spiritually. We should teach our kids and model before our kids that there's more than just a physical body. There's a spiritual side of life. And we should do everything we can to help prepare our kids spiritually for the future by providing a Christian atmosphere and involvement in the Church of Christ and challenge them to grow in their faith with Jesus Christ. Father should also help their child prepare for the future of his or her career. He should help their children identify their gifts, their skills, their interests, their goals, and help them discover what's best for them. Help them to pursue their dreams and should help them prepare for the challenges that they're going to face in obtaining their dreams. And a father should help their child prepare as far as developing relationships. A father should help teach his children the kind of person to choose as their friends and to be careful who influences them from day to day. Even the kind of people that they're choosing as a lifelong partner, a father should help them to understand the importance of having someone who respects them and loves them as a friend and yet a companion. And a father should mirror that relationship with their spouse before their children. Our Heavenly Father has prepared a future for us in heaven. And He's called on us as earthly fathers to help our children prepare for their future. So in conclusion, God gives us a blueprint for fatherhood. And He can do that because He's the perfect Father. And you know, every time I read this scripture and think about these points, I think about, you know, areas where I have fallen short. And if you feel that way this morning, I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm trying to lift you and support you and help you to understand that because God loves us as a father, if we place our faith and our trust in Him, He can help us to be the fathers that we need to be. He can do that. Because He's the perfect Father. He loves us. He gives to us. He requires of us. And He has prepared a future for us. And these are things that we can do for our children. Not as a tyrant, but as a gentle, loving, and caring Father, just like our Heavenly Father loves and cares for us. And I'm saying in closing, if your father is gone, or if you didn't have the relationship with your father that you would have wanted, you can take comfort in the fact that God is your Father and that He's exactly the kind of Father you want. He loves you and He will help you to experience fulfillment in this life through all eternity. Put your faith in Him and trust Him. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We're thankful that You model before us what a Heavenly Father is, and also how we can model our lives as fathers in this day and age in which we live. I pray the name of Jesus all over the fathers who are here today, and I just ask You would anoint them. Anoint them with Your Holy Spirit and help them to step up and be the father they need to be. In the areas where they're short, Father, I pray that You would lift them and empower them. And in the areas where they're great, Father, we just thank You for that. And we just ask that as we hear Your word today, that we don't just hear it, but that we put it to practice in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and turn to 592 in our hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Jesus Calls Us.
We thank you for being present today, bringing the spirit of worship, carry that spirit out there into the world, and just pour it on someone. Remember the announcement in the bulletins. And does anybody else have anyone have anything to say before we leave? Happy Father's Day, Father. I hope this day is very special and meaningful to you as you spend it with your families. Let's bow our heads as we're dismissed. Jennifer, would you dismiss it, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this worship hour that we come and just worship you and praise your name. And thank you for our fathers and all the fathers in the world, Lord. We just pray that you continue to provide them with a godly example. You gave us your Son and your Holy Spirit, and we just praise you for that. And we hope that they continue to just go out and love their children, they give to their children, and they teach their children. Continue to love us and guide us. We praise you. We love you. Amen.